good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He need cut a deep end.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Hey, welcome everybody to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake. I'm Ogama Ganuakwe. Robert Pilot and Wendy Pilot are on their way or have just arrived today to the Baseball Hall of Fame. They're on vacation for the weekend, enjoying their time together and getting to see the Baseball Hall of Fame. We're a little bit envious from the look of our guest host's face today. We have Dr. Anthony Stately, CEO of the Native American Community Clinic. You're not jealous about them going to the Baseball Hall of Fame?
No, if they were going to the Hockey Hall of Fame, I would be jealous.
That's fair.
Robert and I have this ongoing banter about like how important really is baseball.
You know, I'm not a big baseball fan myself, but I see how people enjoy it. But yeah. You know, my daughter plays hockey, so I gotta say I'm right up there with you. So before we get too much
cup. Hockey mom. Ooh,
there you go. I love it. I gotta get myself one of those.
I'll give you this one. It's all beat up and battered, but I don't have a hockey dad cup. They didn't have any.
We'll have to trade.
Yeah, for sure.
Before we get too much further, I want to let people know that this portion of the show is brought to you by the Native Roots Trading Post. Native Roots Trading Post will be at the Minnesota State Fair this year. It is so very exciting. I believe we are going to be somewhere in the the West End Market. That's where it is. We're going to be in the West End Market at the Minnesota State Fair this year. The Minnesota State Fair runs August 25th through September 5th. Yeah. Dr. Stately, who are we having on the show tonight?
Oh, we're having a guest speak, invited guest today is Robert Blake from Solar Bear, and a fellow Red Lake tribal member. So,
yes, I do always enjoy throwing the Red Lake love when we have Robert Blake on. Yes. If it's okay with you, Dr. Stately, I've got a little news I want to touch base on.
Absolutely. Let's hear the news.
Yes. So, bonjour, Anine, everybody. I'm Ogama Ganuakwe, and I've got news for you on Native Roots Radio. Yesterday, Winona and Winona LaDuke and the Shell River 7 were on for a contested omnibus hearing at the Wadena County Courthouse. Winona LaDuke is guardian ad litem for the Shell River and the executive director of Honor the Earth. And she will be on trial this August for her efforts to protect the Shell River from Enbridge's unauthorized Line 3 tar sands pipeline expansion under the Shell River and other precious waterways in Minnesota. This is coming from the Honor the Earth Facebook page. So they were in Wadena yesterday for Winona and the Shell River 7, and I believe they will be back in Wadena on August 12th. So stay tuned for more information for that. They did have they did have a drop the charges rally at Wadena today, and I do believe they're planning another one coming up here in July for the Firelight Camp. The Firelight Camp is going through a contested omnibus hearing July 28th at 8 a.m. in Bagley, Minnesota. So if you are interested in going to protect and support water protectors who have taken action to uphold treaty rights and protect the Mississippi and our shared climate, you can definitely take a look at that event. It is under Support Firelight Camp Defendants in Court 728 is the name of the event. Again, that's Thursday, July 28th at 8 a.m. at the Bagley Courthouse and Clearwater County Courthouse is what it's going to be, but it's on 213 Main Avenue North in Bagley. I would like to also touch base on a little bit more Minnesota news. On Wednesday, the Minnesota Chippewa Tribes, also known as MCT, voted in what's called a non-binding referendum on whether to remove or keep the blood quantum requirement to be enrolled in the tribe, and whether the six member tribes of the MCT can determine their own membership requirements individually. So a non-binding referendum basically means that the outcome of the vote will not bind the Minnesota Chippewa Tribes Committee into taking any particular action. However, it's basically it's not a decision-making vote, but the overall purpose of this is to get an idea of the thoughts and opinions of MCT membership about enrollment. So according to Native News Online, 4,800 citizens voted yes to remove the blood quantum requirement to be enrolled in the Minnesota Chippewa tribe, while 2,629 voted no. And about 4,200 citizens voted yes for six individual membership tribes or bands to determine their own membership requirements by each band ordinance, and about 3,000 voted no. So this is a really big step, considering there are six Chippewa bands that comprise the Minnesota Chippewa tribes, and it's a federally recognized tribal government. Those tribes in Minnesota are Boys Fort, Fond du Lac, Grand Portage, Leech Lake, Mille Lacs, and the White Earth Band of Ojibwe, which I believe, are you a member there or at Oneida, Dr. Staley?
I'm a member of Oneida, but I have descendancy in both White Earth and Red Lake Nations.
Exactly, yes. So right now, as of the end of April 2022, there is about 40,900 people enrolled in the Minnesota Chippewa tribe. So that is a big chunk of Minnesota's native population that belongs under MCT, and a really big step in removing blood quantum requirement. Personally, I think blood quantum should be removed. That's just my personal thought. I don't know what your thought is about it, Dr. Stately.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think there's all kinds of problems with blood quantum, right? So it's a pretty colonized way of thinking about sort of like membership in tribal and identity, right? There's so much more that makes you a native person or an indigenous or tribal person than just the amount of blood you inherit theoretically, right? Like the amount of blood could actually be measured from one or both of your parents or from your lineage. Lots of tribes determine their tribal membership through what we would call descendancy. So the ability to directly link yourself back to a member of the nation throughout ancestry. And there's all kinds of reasons why that makes a lot more sense. You know, I think that we know that we've all seen, I think this is one of the critical issues why tribes are sort of taking a look at this, is as we intermarry and we have more mixed race babies. They use the term mixed race when it's important also to clarify that Native American or tribal identity is not the same as race. Mm-hmm. Those two things are not the same thing.
Exactly.
One is a political designation. The other one is a racial identity. It's also important to recognize that race is a social construct. So it's a really complex issue, but the bigger issue becomes as membership becomes less and less viable in tribal communities, we risk all kinds of threats to sovereignty and a number of other things, right? So
exactly. I'm right there with you.
So there's all kinds of reasons why it makes sense to do. So
I'm from Red Lake Nation, and they've chosen not to be a part of the Minnesota Chippewa tribes, and they have a 1/4, I believe, blood quantum requirement, or 1/16. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. I believe it's 1/4, though. But they did just recently change the blood quantum laws in the last few years, which finally enabled me to be enrolled, which I was not prior to in my life. They made everybody born after a certain date full blood, which included my father, which makes me half, and my daughter's a 1/4, but their children are now not eligible to be enrolled. So it only fixed the problem for so long. And personally, I think we should move towards descendancy in a lot of places. So
absolutely.
Thanks so much, Dr. Stately, for having that awesome conversation with me as we start off the show. Up next, we're going to have Robert Blake, who is the CEO of Stoller Bear and the executive director at Native Sun Community Power. You are listening to Native Roots Radio. We will be back shortly.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac. the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a 5-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Don't fall for vaccine misinformation. Local medical professionals are available to answer any of your questions. Initial shots and boosters are safe for people who are pregnant and even young children. Right now, vaccines are available for anyone over 6 months of age, and boosters are available for anyone over the age of 5. This message brought to you by the Native American Community Clinic. Find a vaccination site by calling 651-304-9986 or visit vaccineconnector.mn.gov.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. This is Ogama Ginuwakwe here with guest host Dr. Anthony Stately, CEO of the Native American Community Clinic, and Bob Blake from Red Lake. Welcome. I just want to let everybody know before I let Dr. Stately kick it off that this portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization working for climate justice.
Bonjour, Bob. How are you? You're on mute is how you are.
There we go. Okay, can you hear me now?
I can, yeah.
Yeah, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Good, good.
This is pretty cool. This is turning into your second career.
I guess, apparently. So, yeah, radio host extraordinaire when the other guy's on vacation. So.
You're becoming quite the radio personality. I've listened to you a few times out here.
Well, it's fun. I enjoy it. You know, it gives me something different to do other than my day job. So, yeah, I really enjoy it. And, wow. You know, they're great people to work with, as you know. So you're a regular guest on the show as well. So,
well, I just want to say we don't want you leaving your day job either.
That's true. That's true. We don't want to leave. Yeah.
In all transparency,
Bob is on my board of directors. So,
and full disclosure, everyone, I am a board of director with the Neighborhood Community Clinic, and Dr. Stately just does a great job for our community there in South Minneapolis and the Native community, and is a real advocate for Native people here in the state of Minnesota, especially with healthcare. We just absolutely love the stuff you do, Dr. Stately. We love you. Absolutely. Oh,
thank you so much. That's really kind of you. I appreciate it. Hey, I like your hat. That's a really cool hat. Where can I get a hat like that? That's a Philadelphia Eagles hat, is that?
Yeah, but I was thinking about the McGeezy, you know?
And, yeah, for sure.
And so I saw that and I was like, hey, there's a McGeezy hat.
There you go. Awesome.
I didn't look at it as an eagle hat at first. I just looked at it as a McGeezy. And then, of course, it was
Eagle. Yeah. It's an example of how white corporations always take the best of our stuff. So anyway, welcome to the show. Hey, I heard I can call you professor now is what I heard.
So, oh, wow. Yeah. This is an interesting story. So real quickly, we've been working on these energy projects, you know, and of course, you know, I've been doing this now for, 7 years now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of my work has been rooted around climate change and, just getting the word out, sure. around, you know, a warming planet and all of the things that, you know, go with it. And the Humphrey School of Public Affairs, Dr. Gabriel Chan, everyone, got a hold of me and said, hey, would you like to teach a class around tribal energy projects? And I was like, you got to be kidding me. I was like, this is the University of Minnesota, Hopi School of Public Affairs. Am I actually the guy to do this?
Yeah.
And he says, well, we can't think of anybody else that should do this. And so I said, yeah. I said, I think this would be really cool. And he said, you would get the adjunct professor title. And I said, oh, wow. Okay. This is, you sold me. You got me just because I could put adjunct professor now.
Yeah. That's awesome. Congratulations. That's a, that's a great achievement. That's really exciting.
And that adds, you're right. You have a long list of qualifications. I mean, well, it would take a full minute to list them all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And in full disclosure, everyone, too, another thing. I did talk to the Humphrey School of Public Affairs about doing my PhD work there. So, I mean, this, you know, maybe this is, maybe this will go down the road as counting as my pedagogy, right?
Awesome.
But yeah, this was, I had already talked to Humphrey about it, and then I got roped into Carlson, and then I realized, that, I have a lot of these skills already, and I think I just needed to get that semester in the MBA program to really figure out if this is really what I wanted to do. I think that honestly, I want to pursue the policy side more, because I think Dr. Stately, that we'll be able to do a lot more work if we change the policies.
Oh, for sure. Like, I mean, I think that's remarkable, and I commend you and congratulate you on your achievement. That's really a wonderful opportunity for you to share your experience and your knowledge and also your passion for the work, right? Cultivate that same sort of interest in other people who are you sort of mentoring through, you know, through your work as a professor and teaching and learning. I'm really proud of you. That's awesome. I also have a professor title. I just got it as well, but it's for a research project. And I just told my sons the other day, by the way, you now have to call me Professor Dr. Dad. That's what you have to call me. Ask for things.
The titles are really like.
Yeah, make sure you include professor there. Like, you know, there you go. You want something special? Use professor. but I think it's really great, and it's wonderful, and you know, we have a lot of Red Lake Nation power here right now on the radio.
Wow,
Red Lake Nation is doing a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah, you know, doing a lot of cool stuff. The members and the nation itself are.
Yeah, you know, it really. Well, I don't know if you can see behind me.
I was just going to ask, where do I get that? Is that a blanket?
Where do I get that? Is that a blanket? Yeah. So is it a throw or is it a flag or what's up?
That? Yeah, that was a gift from a friend of the family's. He was like an uncle to me, Marv Hansen. Hansen was the guy who gave that to me, gifted it to me. He was like a uncle to me. He was an uncle. I mean, literally, he was an uncle. And just great friend, and he gave that to me after my brother, Sergeant Blake, Bill Blake, passed away.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And so I cherish this gift from Marv, and we'll always have it. So
that's really cool. So have you started working on your syllabus for your class yet, or are you kind of kicking that down the road a little bit?
Oh, we're actually already sketching it out. Yeah, nice. We're already sketching it out. Awesome. And so we plan to kind of have something kind of rough first week in August.
Oh, that's very cool. Awesome. Yeah. Are you going to be able to audit the course, or do you have to be enrolled in that very expensive college?
That's a very good question. That is a really good question. But I kind of want to talk to Gabe about that and say, is there a possibility that we could allow people to audit this course? Because,
well, I mean, especially if it's online or something like that, or maybe you can do it in partnership with the Red Lake Tribal College, and then some people.
Ooh, or maybe another. The U should just allow Native people to take that course for free.
Yeah. I think, I don't know, this is getting pretty interesting. I mean, we've got so many ideas here there floating up. Yeah. And I just know that this is going to be a really interesting class. And I encourage, you know, people to, if they can, take it. And I'm really excited to get involved and to teach it and to help, you know, just talk about this stuff because I really want to get it out there.
That's awesome. Oh, Oguma had a good question. Like, what is the title of your course going to be?
Tribal Energy Projects, Building Tribal Energy Projects. I think that's just a rough title right now. That's just a rough title. But obviously we have to put everything together by the fall because it then has to be allowed for the students to sign up for it.
Nice. Okay. So you're not going to do anything like real indigenous, like go into a ceremony and pray for a name or any of that stuff?
Oh, no. I'm going to keep it really high level. I really am going to keep it really high level.
Awesome.
But I do want to get into like some of the specifics of like, you know, like, you know, we, you know, just the power that tribal nations have in combating climate change and the real leadership role that they can actually take because we are the only people in this government with our own government.
Yep. Yep. And we have a lot of independence with that.
Yep. And when you see people, and when you see our state and federal government fail the people like they did with Line 3 and these other major projects, you know, you've seen tribal governments step up, you know, and challenge, you know, the fossil fuel, I would say, you know, conglomerates and that power. And that's exactly what I believe the framers of the Constitution intended with tribal nations was for them to be that stopgap or that stop loss, so to speak, to be there to, you know, to always preserve democracy. And that's what I think the tribal nations are set there for, because otherwise you really do see like this corporate oligarchy trying to take over this government. I mean, formed it on the 6th.
For sure. It also reifies and reinforces our sort of like our ancestral and indigenous responsibilities as caretakers of the earth, right? So it gives us a real clear line for that, for us to advance that work in a structure that is actually codified in law, right? So.
Yep, exactly. And I was telling my speeches too that it was our responsibility to take care of Turtle Island before anybody got here, and it's our responsibility after everybody leaves.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. Well, I was curious if you were going to include other forms of alternative energy in your policy platform, like wind and all those other things. We have clearly lots of reservations that have all kind of land they can do all kinds of things with that would contribute to some of the problem solving. So I'm just kind of interested in talking with you more about that.
Yeah, let's answer that on the next segment. Everybody, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. We will be right back.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Smart radio for smart people. That's the Tom Hartman program. Listen to me, Tom Hartman, from 11 a.m. to 2, right here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
2022 continues to be a hot real estate market, and any advantage you gain could net you thousands of dollars. If you do plan to move at some point, installing a system from All Energy Solar could increase your resale value and help you sell your home faster. Energy costs will not be going down anytime soon, so a property with a solar energy system could make it much more attractive to potential buyers. Buyers consider electric bills when buying a home, and installing solar panels is viewed as an upgrade. Each kilowatt of solar energy could increase the resale value of your home by thousands of dollars. And even when you sell your home, you'll likely recoup the costs of switching to solar thanks to your increased property value. So if you plan to sell your home, make your home as attractive as possible to buyers by switching to All Energy Solar. Get a free, no-obligation assessment from All Energy Solar by calling 800-620-3370 or visiting allenergysolar.com. That's allenergysolar.com.
Hi, I'm Claire Ferreira, president and owner of Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. My grandfather started Standard over 90 years ago, and we've been a family-owned company ever since, serving over 500,000 of our fellow Minnesotans. I'm proud to be the fourth generation of my family working in our business. And when we say we treat our employees and clients like family, we truly mean it. See how we can help your family stay comfortable all year long at standardheating.com. That's standardheating.com.
Already this summer, we've had our fair share of 90-degree, hot, humid, muggy days. And it doesn't look like things will change this month, so at least make sure your home stays cool and comfortable with Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Right now, get instant savings of $650 on an AC unit or ductless system with payments as low as $73 per month. But don't wait, this cool deal is only available through July 31st. That's Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, providing the comfort you deserve since 1930.
Hi, folks. This is Kirk Bangstad from Wisconsin's Minocqua Brewing Company, and our progressive beer is now available in Minneapolis. Yes, you Vikings can now buy Biden Beer, Bernie Brew, AOC IPA, and Kamala, a strong vice presidential stout, without having to travel across the border. And the best news yet is that 5% of the proceeds of each beer you buy go to Keeping Wisconsin Blue.
Drink progressively with Minocqua Brewing. Get their progressive beers at Lake Wine and Spirits in Uptown and Center's Liquor and Supermarket in Northeast Minneapolis. Find other Twin Cities locations at MinocquaBrewingCompany.com.
With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lulia. Increasing clouds overnight with a low of 68, then sunshine Friday with a high of 92. The locally owned Vinaigrette has been offering the finest olive oils and vinegar since 2009. That's Vinaigrette, Xerxes Avenue and 50th Street in Minneapolis, or at VinaigretteMN.com.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
You're on mute.
I was on mute, everybody. Bonjour. This is Okamuganuakwe. Robert and Wendy are away today, tomorrow, and I believe Monday at the Baseball Hall of Fame. So we have our fabulous guest host, Dr. Anthony Stately from the Native American Community Clinic here. And I just want to let everybody know that this portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Awesome. Thank you for the introduction. And welcome back, everybody. Robert, we were talking with you about your illustrious career in solar energy, and now you're a professor, and you're going to be teaching the next generation all about solar energy and how it can contribute to making our planet a healthier and better place to live. So congratulations on that. And one of the questions I have for you is, like, you know, I was asked to sort of be in this position today to host, I was like, you know, the very next day, it was like 106 in the shade, you know, and actually my car died as soon as I pulled into the driveway yesterday from when I got home from work or the day before. And I was so grateful it died in my garage and not like on the highway where, you know, anything could have happened to me there. I'm in a hot car. But one of the things I want to know is, like, what's your, you know, how do you see solar energy and other forms of alternative energy, I suppose, contributing to this, you know, this massive sort of like changing climate change that we're seeing? So it's for me, it feels like, you know, we've been talking about this for a really long time in our society for at least like the last decade or so. But it just seems like in the last couple of years, it's been on rapid, you know, it's been on like, you know, climate change on monster energy drinks, you know, changing and increasing rapidly. What's your take on this, and how are we going to solve this?
Well, that's because, you know, the planet's telling us, you know, it's sick, right?
Yeah,
and it's telling us that, you know, it's in, you know, it's in a desperate situation right now. And, you know, when the planet's unhealthy, we're unhealthy, you know, and when the planet's healthy, we're healthy, you know. And I always tell people, we're like gut bacteria, you know, the world is one big stomach, and we're like the gut bacteria. When it's on, you know, we're on, you know, when we're off, it's off.
Wow. That's a really interesting analogy.
It's a good analogy. Your gut bacteria affects so many different parts of your health, everything from your digestive health to your mental health. That's a really, I like it. It's a good analogy.
And where I got that from was, we were talking to some kids in North Minneapolis at the church up there, and they were doing a solar class, and I explained to them why solar is good for the planet. And I imagine it to it being medicine for you know, the world's tummy. And of course the kids got it, and they understood that solar was good for the world's stomach, just like if their parents were going to give them medicine for their stomach to get better. And so it was really cool, and that's how the kids got it. But then I started thinking about it, and then I started realizing that, you know, that healing is in the environment. And when we start taking care of the planet and stop being at war with it, it will start taking care of us. And this is something that our people have always known. And I was giving a talk out in Portland, Oregon on systems thinkers and how to, you know, one of the main, they said it was one of these, you know, Ivy College skills tests, and said one of the main things that people are going to have in the future to be a good employee is to be able to be a systems thinker. And I thought about the original systems thinkers, and that's Native people, and how we connected all the dots and realized that when we take care of all of us and everyone and everything around us, it sort of takes care of us. And so, you know, we really have to get back to that. And that's why renewable energy is so important, because, you know, we're unfortunately, we are going to keep our phones. We are going to keep our computers. We are going to keep our tablets. These things aren't going anywhere. And and for us to continue to burn fossil fuels to create energy for us to live is just impossible. So we're doing this terrible experiment of digging up dinosaurs and putting them in the air, and it's just not working. So that's why you've seen the sharp incline in greenhouse gas emissions, and of course, the rise in temperature, you know, on the planet. And so there's a direct correlation here. And unfortunately, everyone, the bad news is that we don't have till 2100. We don't even have till 2050. We literally have over this next decade to get this right. And if not, we are going to suffer massive heat-related illnesses. We are going to have diseases that are going to start popping up all over the country, all over the world, that have laid dormant for centuries, and we are going to have more viruses. And so, you know, this is why this is really important, because what the world just showed us the last couple of years is that we're not in control. It's in control. And so if that doesn't wake up people, I don't know what.
Yeah, that's a really great way of sort of summing all of that up. I think one of the challenges we often have, the biggest challenge we have as human beings, is that we have the tendency to think that the world revolves around us, when actually we will revolve around the world. The rest, you know, we're like a lot of our creation stories, almost every single nation, indigenous nation around the globe, has a creation story that oftentimes involves, you know, human beings, you know, who are like the most pitiful of the entire on the entire planet, sort of like the animals and the plants and the rest of the creation, trying to teach us how to be a good relative to them and a good relative to the earth. And, you know, it's not a lesson that a lot of us have figured out, but it's kind of like, you know, I think about, I went to boarding school and I had lots of nuns tell me you can take your medicine the easy way or you can take it the hard way. And, you know, unfortunately, we certainly seem to be on the trajectory of taking our medicine the hard way. But that's, well,
yeah,
that's going to be a tough road to follow.
Absolutely, Dr. Staley. And here's the kicker, everyone. The world's going to go on. Doesn't mean we are. And so that's what I want people to understand. The planet is going to be just fine without us. It's been fine without us for billions of years. So, you know, understand, you know, that we, you know, we are at the mercy of the planet. The planet isn't at the mercy of us. You know what I mean? So that's what everybody has to get through their kind of through their mind is that, you know, this is going to take all of us. And so, you know, this is the call to action, right? You know, this is how we do it. This is, we vote people in that are climate champions. Okay. We vote people in that are going to listen to their hearts and listen to the people and go ahead and create policies that are going to protect the planet and the environment and consequently all of us. Right. And so voting out people like, you know, Joe Manchin in West Virginia,
who clearly has more interest in his coal mining owner, corporate sponsors than anybody else.
Yes.
The actual people he's elected to protect.
Yes. Right? So what I want to tell people listening right now is you have the power. You have the power. You have the power to vote these people out, to vote in climate champions, because this, we are in an emergency. And you don't have to look on the evening news to see what's happening. You just have to step outside your door. Right. And so that's why this is so important, and that's why we also need tribal nations to take the lead on this. We have 574 tribal nations across the country, right across Turtle Island here, and we need them to lead. And that's why I believe through renewable energy we can do this. So the idea here is that we can't take back this land by fighting the United States government again, but we can't take back this land morally, and that's going to be through renewable energy and to committing ourselves to a 100% fossil-free future.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be interesting and possibly even ironic, to use the words of, Alanis Morissette, if in the end, on the end of this game, the space and place where it's the most healthy and the most the best place to live for all people, not just indigenous people, is on tribal nation lands, because they got it right. And we have lush places to live, and we have renewable energy, and they're coming to us for those resources, right?
And you do see that with the Bureau of Land Management, right?
Yeah,
they're
helping
tribal nations, because they've seen how tribal nations have kept their land and how they've worked it and how they've burnt it and have controlled burns and whatnot. And so you see this really happening right now. And so unfortunately, those lines that are around our reservations are not going to stop climate change. And so,
of course.
And so we all tribal nations have to step up here, because it's going to affect us. And unfortunately, it's going to affect unjustly poor communities. So
poor communities,
you know,
disenfranchised people of color communities, for sure.
Yep, exactly. Right. And we've seen how the pandemic affected poor people and people of color, especially this last couple of years. So this is just a start. And so, Dr. Staley, I'm so proud to and happy to have been on here with you tonight. And like I say, this is, climate change is a health issue. And but you're definitely suited to be one of the first people in our community. So I'm good for having me on tonight.
Absolutely. Thank you for being with us tonight.
Oh,
Thank you, Bob Blake, for joining us on Native Roots Radio. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Robert and Wendy are off tonight, and we're here with our special guest host, Dr. Anthony Stately, CEO of the Native American Community Clinic. And you were just listening to Robert, or Bob Blake from Red Lake, who is the CEO of Native Sun Community Power and the executive director of, CEO of Solar Bear and executive director of Native Sun Community Power. We will be right back on Native Roots Radio here shortly. And I just want to throw out there one more time that the Native Roots Trading Post will be at the Minnesota State Fair this year. Make sure to get over there. Minnesota State Fair runs August 25th through September 5th of 2022. We'll be right back.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
COVID levels may be falling, but the virus is still around. Stay healthy and up to date on your COVID vaccinations and boosters. Right now, everyone 6 months and older is eligible to get a vaccination, while everyone 5 and up is eligible for the booster shot. Plus, you're eligible for a second booster if you're over 50 and received an initial booster dose at least 4 months ago. Find a vaccination site by calling 651-304-9986 or visit vaccineconnector.mn.gov. This message brought to you by the Native American Community Clinic.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Bonjour, everybody. This is Ogama Ganuakwe and Dr. Anthony Stately standing in for Robert and Wendy Pilot tonight, who are at the Baseball Hall of Fame. Dr. Stately, are you ready to howl with me?
Absolutely. Let's howl.
All right. This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Ow!
So welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. And Dr. Stately, what a great guest Bob Blake is.
He is an awesome guest, and I'm really, really proud of him. Not just because he's a friend and a colleague and a board member of my board, but he is just an amazing human being. He's doing some really important work. Really, really proud of him. So, and I'm going to find some way, one way or another, I'm going to audit that class.
One way or another.
One way or another.
Maybe we'll be in that class.
Yeah.
I would love to take a class
like
that. I'm excited that class exists.
That's a really big deal.
That's a really big deal that that's even an option for non-Native or Native people to take a course like that. So it's really exciting.
And he ended that last session by talking about how important climate change is and addressing that and why it's important. And he connected it to healthcare. And that's kind of... that's my area of expertise and so the area I work in. And of course, there's a lot of connection between climate change and, and its impact on health and well-being and healthcare specifically. And so I'm going to audit that course, and then I'm going to actually say, hey, like, let's talk about healthcare here at some point in time. So,
right. I cannot, as somebody who ends up being a bit of a news junkie to do this job, I see a lot of articles about, you know, what's coming for us with climate change. And it's terrifying. This keeps me up at night, you know, like,
well, I mean, people should be afraid. I mean, look at what's happening in Europe right now. So in London, where their typical temperatures at this time of year for them in this season is like around 72, maybe the high has always been like 72, 74, maybe 78. But, you know, they have temperatures in like triple digits over there, 115, 118. They have old people and other vulnerable people getting very, very seriously ill. People dying, right? Mm-hmm. Those are all really important things to be paying attention to. If this isn't getting anyone's attention, if they're sleeping through it and not thinking like, oh, this is a serious issue and I should be thinking about, you know, what's my game plan if I have these challenges? And they're also not thinking like, what can I do to contribute to improving the condition of this issue in our in my community, in my country, in on the globe, you know, on this earth, then they're not awake, right? And the name of our show is I'm Awake. So
exactly. You know, exactly.
We're encouraging everybody to wake up and take notice, because this is not good news. This is foreboding news, right? And it's not theoretical anymore, like we were talking about 10, 15, 20 years ago. It's mm-hmm. right here, right now, on your front doorstep. And it's something we have to be talking about. And we should be talking with our kids about it. I love that he talked about, like, talking with young kids and helping them to understand, like, you know, the relationship between this issue and our own existence as people on the planet and our role and our responsibility. He made it simple. He talked about it in a term that they understood, and it made sense to them. They figured it out right away. Every kid knows what and what it means to be sick in the tummy, right? They all know mm-hmm. that really well. So, I mean, we should be talking to our children about responsible use of energy, using, you know, the push for clean energy. You know, I'm always yelling at my own kids about, like, shutting off the lights when they're not using them, mm-hmm. and turning off the TV, you know, those kinds of things. You know, let's walk instead of drive, all these other kinds of things, you know.
Well, with gas prices, you better be walking instead of driving where you can.
Right, for sure.
And I think that is a blessing in disguise with the price gouging we're experiencing with the gas prices right now, that it is allowing people to realize that, you know, it is possible to walk more, to bike more, to take modes of transportation that don't add to the carbon in the atmosphere. And I think that is a blessing in disguise, but it's certainly not enough. I mean, if COVID wasn't enough to slow us down, you know, what are we going to be looking at? And the reports are terrifying, and finding that happy balance personally for me to explain to my 9-year-old that we need to conserve power because we're all going to die isn't really like a great, great way to like talk to your kid about this.
No, it's so, not.
If anybody who's listening, or if anybody, maybe like Bob Blake or somebody, has any good resources for how to talk to your kids about the dangers of climate change, I would love to put that up on my social media and read that myself, because that's something I definitely feel like I need help with as a parent right now.
Yeah, that's a great ask, and I think that there's probably some things out there that we could probably find just in looking. I'm sure there's books on it. You know, there seem to be a lot of books about all kinds of really critical social justice and environmental justice issues are probably another part of that. That a lot of people have some people have taken time to sort of kind of think through, like, well, how do I talk to my, you know, my 3 or 4 or 5 year old about this? And it's an important conversation to be having when they're that young, because you're cultivating their understanding and their knowledge about how they're going to move through the world for the rest of their lives, right? You know, when I was a kid, no one was talking to me about solar energy. It wasn't even a thing, right? In the 1960s, 70s.
I grew up in the age of an inconvenient truth. So that kind of, you know, instilled that long-standing feelings of anxiety I experienced. I think the inconvenient truth was I think we watched it in my science class in middle school. And it was like the movie got done and we were all just kind of staring at each other like, what? What do you mean that's what's going to happen? You know, and it was really eye-opening then. But I don't think when I was that age, children or youth had as much power as they do now. Yeah, the youth have so much more collective power now, thanks to the rise of social media and all of that, that, you know, I think there's times where we need to, you know, help guide our youth. And I think there's times where we need to get behind them and let them do it, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yes, for sure. I think that we have to actually probably do both, right? We have to sort of help guide them. I certainly am not going to let my children be the lead conversants in global climate health. I got one 15-year-old that all he's interested in is Snapchat, Instagram, and girls. So, you know, unless we're strapping some solar panels on the backs of gorgeous young ladies, he's not going to take the time and to be attending to it. So, but I do think that it's things that we have to start cultivating with our young people, having these conversations about like, hey, you know, how do you think that the world's going to look like in 5 or 10 years when you are a young man or a young woman and you're going to be out in the world working and you're having your own family and you're trying to find a place to live and trying to feed them? Like, how do you think that's going to go if we don't start to do something now collectively here in our home, in our community, and in our states and our nation about making sure that we're making, have a plan, a solid plan, actual behaviors we can take now to start to sort of to turn the tide in this area. Those are really important conversations for us to be having with our young ones.
Right. And talking about, you know, Robert Pilot always says, resist, divest, join a group and run for office. But resisting and divesting looks a whole lot like taking back to the earth in your community. It looks like foraging. It looks like planting your own garden. It looks like water preservation. It looks like those things that you hear about other people doing and you might call them maybe crunchy or, you know, that term that's kind of floating around for people who are really trying to, you know, put a dent in the problem that we have right now. But I think personally, you have to put your money where your mouth is. These corporations and giant conglomerates won't stop producing plastic forks and silverware if we don't stop buying them.
Yeah, we need to stop buying SUVs and, you know, driving 100 miles just because we want to see, you know, the sunset in a specific area on the earth. The sunset is beautiful no matter where you're at. And if you get to see it the next day, you're blessed no matter where you are.
Exactly. So if you've been listening or you've been listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, this has been Dr. Anthony Stately from CEO of Native American Community Clinic, co-hosting and guest hosting for Robert Pilot and Wendy Pilot. We miss you both. Safe travels to the Baseball Hall of Fame. I am Ogama Ganuakwe. Looking forward to having you all on again tomorrow as I host with Minnesota State Senator Mary Kunish. Thank you all for tuning in. And remember to resist, divest, join a group, and run for office. We'll be back tomorrow.